Whenever, wherever. Except it has to be on a Friday, and it has to be here so we can put our feet up and record. So, not really either of those.
And apparently weekly.
No, never. Don't. You see, this is not setting any kind of precedent.
Well, no, I think it is.
No. No. Do not overcommit yourself. Do not overstretch yourself at this juncture, young lady. The season is barely a day old.
Why are we doing this then? Is it because you got all overexcited at the season?
Yes. I have stuff to say. I have opinions and things, and you know, I'm paying attention. So I figure we ought to celebrate that fact. Plus, we got a good response from the last show. And that was a surprise to me because I wasn't entirely convinced people would.
At least three times in that show you said, no one's listening anymore. Talk about confidence.
Yeah, I didn't have much confidence going into it. I have an entirely new appreciation for this show, though. It's clearly a classic idea.
Genius.
It's going to run and run and run, and people love it, and that's good. So hello to everybody who's tuned in for a second time.
Hello, welcome. We love you. You are also really super-duper relaxed because all your hard work and awesome coding is done. There's plenty still to happen to the site, but all the basic groundwork is there.
Everything that you laid out in your plans at the end of last season has been touched upon.
You met the deadline.
Yeah, it's not quite. I would have liked one more week, I think, just to finish just the final touches on a couple of things. But everything that we wanted to get done, everything we were desperately keen to get started on at the end of last season, we did it all. We managed it all, and that is that's quite amazing. I'm so zen now because the pressure was immense, and the pressure was only coming from you. Effectively, no one else knew I was doing it. A lot of this coding, so you know, it was only your hassling that I was the pressure I was under. But
worked.
We made it. It works. You are a fine project manager.
Nagging works. What can I say? We did have lots of feedback after the last show, and we had lots of ideas too. I mean, was it Lukey who said if we ever wanted a guest on the show, he'd be happy to call in and have a quick chat? That'd be interesting.
Will he promise to have his feet up too?
You have to have your feet up. It's the law.
Does Lukey do chilled out and relaxed on Fridays? I mean, the guy is, you know, he's a ball of energy at the best of times. Can he do chilled out and relaxed?
Well, we'll have to try it.
We will phone Lukey up one show and see if he can do chilled out and zen.
We also had some feedback on, do you remember it was a week ago, you've probably forgotten.
Was it only a week ago? We really did this show this time last Friday, because it feels like an awful lot longer.
Do you not remember how to do weekly shows?
No.
We used to do it all the time. But anyway, I was talking about the awesome names that are in F1, such as Guido Vandergaard.
Except your favourite.
Apparently, that is not how you say it. So it is no longer the best name ever.
What do you mean it's not how you say it? How else can you say Guido Vandergaard?
It was pointed out to me via Twitter that you don't say it like that. You say it like this.
Guido van der Garde.
That's no. Somebody needs to get hold of Guido and tell him that he's pronouncing his name wrong. Clearly, that's not how you pronounce it.
It's nowhere near as fun to
People
say.
People are wrong. So he's not you. So who is now your new favourite name in Formula One?
I'm not gonna have one.
You can have a sulk.
Yeah, not at all. No one. I must just say that audio clip is courtesy of someone very cool who recorded it to show me how it should be said. And he said if I was going to play the clip in the show, I'd better pronounce his name correctly. So I'm going to ensure that
pressure.
Well, I'm going to make sure that I do that by not pronouncing it, and I'll just link to his Twitter account in the show notes. Job done.
No. Tell me who it was.
No.
Tell me.
You'll see.
Can you spell it then?
No. I might spell it wrong.
You are ridiculous.
We also have to give a shout out to Luke Smith. Well, I say we, really you have to, but apparently I was copied in on this because you were never going to remember to do the shout out, so I had to be brought in to make sure it happened.
Luke knows me too well. My reputation precedes me. I'd forgotten. He tweeted you again today, and I thought, oh my goodness me.
You had forgotten.
I had completely slipped my mind. So, Lukey is from the website called...
Not Lukey. Luke.
Wrong Lukey. Lukey was earlier.
He has a new site called richlandf1.com. It's F1 news for the fans, by the fans, and they've got a great selection of writers. I also suspect Luke is always on the lookout for more, so if you're interested in writing, definitely go and check it out. We had a poem recently on sopodcast.com written by Ernie, And he does write for them. So there's somewhere else you can check out.
Small, small world.
Check out his writing.
Cool. So hit me up. Some Formula One news then. Free practice happened and you slept right through it all.
Yes, I did.
Super fan, Christine.
Well, you know, it's early in the morning. I'm getting old. What can I say?
I did. I made the effort. I caught free practice one and then I fell asleep for free practice two.
Did you or did you not have a laptop in bed?
Yes, and my battery went flat. I would like to say that you missed. It wasn't a classic free practice. It was damn weather.
Is there such a thing?
Well, there are various degrees of free practice entertainment. It was a slow burning free practice session, but it was good to see Formula One cars back in action. They do look terrible. They look horrible, mostly in the most part. McLarens are nice. And the Mercedes are nice. Generally, the noses are odd looking, but there were new camera angles. We've got helmet cam, courtesy of Mark Webber. We had a new underfloor T-tray cam for Jenson Button. That was good. And we've got a new F1 timing app, which didn't work.
It didn't. What, the expensive thing didn't work?
It failed.
Oh my god!
Timing,
refund.
Well, I bought the app because of the new tyre data, it's divulging exactly what I was asking for. I think if you listened to debrief shows last year, it was very hard to keep track of who's on what tyre.
We've always said that live timing should have that information.
Well, this live timing app does have that information, and that is why I signed up, and that is why I paid for it, and it told me nothing at all, unfortunately. Their servers were overloaded, and there was a problem with the feed at the track. Now, it is free practice, and it doesn't really matter, but I do hope that some form of information is imparted to me for the money that I've spent thus far on an app.
It does matter.
It's not asking much.
When you're
it?
Spending that kind of money, it kind of does matter.
Especially when, you know, we've got a limited amount of races we can watch this season and the timing app becomes ever more important. And the data, the accuracy of the data is vital and it really was a bit wrong.
So, yeah, I didn't see any of the free practice coverage, but I did read through the events that we had on Side Podcast, the live event threads for those two sessions, and they were very informative. It was great. I found out about Schumacher bumping his nose, the car's nose, obviously. Not that it would make it look any worse, I suppose.
Have you ever seen a man more smug than Michael Schumacher finishing top of the times on Friday? I know if I was in that position, I'd be feeling just about the same. And you know, if people had been knocking my career and my comeback in the way that the likes of us have, then I'd be feeling just as smug. And the times don't mean that much anyway, but I have never seen quite a grin like that from any man. He was quite pleased to be at the top of those timesheets, and it was a deserved run. He was fast on Friday.
Yeah, Mercedes are looking quite handy, really. I was going to say, I read both the threads and then I went to work and my boss was asking me, oh, what happened in free practice? And I was like, well, I slept through it, but I have heard some things. So I got to sound knowledgeable, even though I didn't watch any of it. Then later on, he asked me, who did I think was going to win? Like, I'm good at making predictions.
He doesn't know you at all. Is this a new job you have and a new boss?
It is.
He doesn't have a clue.
It is a new job.
So Sidepodcast live threads to the rescue, though.
Yeah, they were indeed. And so eventually, he forced me to make a prediction because I said, well, you know, it's hard to say. It's the first race. That didn't put him off. I said, well, it might rain. No, he wasn't having any of it. He forced me to make a prediction. So I said, Button probably, because although the Mercedes is looking handy, I don't think it's quite their time yet.
You're going for Jenson Button?
Yeah.
That's...
I mean, I pulled that out of nowhere, really, only because I'd heard his name because he went fastest in FP1.
Okay. I can see where you're coming from. I don't have... Having seen only one session in full, I don't have any extra knowledge to impart, but you can see that the front runners are holding back. I think, actually, the Mercedes has good pace during qualifying because they've got their tricky rear wing stalling F duct diffuser thing. I don't know if there is a short name for it yet.
F duct trickery.
It's like F duct Mark II. It's the resurgence of McLaren's innovation from the year before last. It's going to give them an advantage in qualifying when you can have... it relies on the DRS rear wing to enable and disable it.
And you can have it open all the time.
In qualifying, you can have as much DRS as you'd like, and therefore the Mercedes will genuinely be quick when they've got that enabled. But in the race, DRS is limited. There's only one activation zone and two DRS zones, I think, for this Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And even if they do manage to get themselves near the front, there is going to be a point, obviously, when DRS doesn't work, when you're the lead car, it offers no advantage.
If they get pole position, they're screwed.
It doesn't. Well, they're not screwed, but it doesn't. It doesn't work in that position. Also, on restarts from a yellow flag situation or from the start of the race, it makes no odds for two laps. And if it rains, DRS may not be enabled at all. However, having said all that, you wouldn't want to bet against a Mercedes on the podium at this race. But my money, I think, in the end, is still on Sebastian Vettel. Well, they had a bad final test.
I think it's really interesting that he is saying today, he's been quoted as saying, you know, well, we need a really big step overnight. It's not, the car was not handling right. I wasn't at all comfortable. I didn't like it. And he's one to say it's going well. He's not usually one to say it's going badly. He usually doesn't say very much at all. So it's interesting that he's speaking out about it.
I heard that the final test in Barcelona, Mark Webber said this, the package we brought to the final weekend's run didn't work. And at the time I thought, yeah, you're just saying that. But actually, they're not using that. And Mark Webber was telling the truth. And it seems like the Red Bull guys are being honest. But I would be stunned if Adrian Newey could lose that much pace from a design over the winter. Even if you took a second off of last year's Red Bull, they're still a front-running car. And I don't think it could possibly have lost that much time over the winter. We shall see. They're not in the dominant position they were this time last year. They have overstretched themselves somewhat. But I don't know if McLaren are going to be there to take the spoils either. Let's see how it pans out. I like you predictioning, though.
Predictioning.
More of that. More Christine predictioning.
The other prediction you have to make is whether HRT are going to manage to qualify. Because
do I care, though?
I know that you hate talking about them and they're an embarrassment and you think all that.
Can they just go away?
It is.
I'm sure there's some nice people working for them somewhere, but they are such a waste of space.
I think it is weird that we are 12 months on and they're in exactly the same position as they were.
They're in the same position they were 24 months ago. The only thing that gives HRT any purpose in life is that Marussia are worse.
But are they? Are they going to be this year? I don't think they are.
You think that HRT will finish behind? Well, look at, you remember when HRT made their debut and you had Karun Chandok potentially not getting a drive in the first race. They are better. They're in a better position than they were then, and they still finished ahead of what were Virgin in that year.
Well, they're not that much better because Chandok got his first run in the car was in qualifying.
Mm.
Well, De La Rosa has only done one installation lap.
That's one more than Chandok.
That's hardly better.
But they still beat Virgin. I think, even with McLaren's input, Marussia have such a vast hill to climb. They are essentially a rookie team this year. They've thrown away all of their technical operations. They've had to start from scratch because the plan to go with the CFD route didn't work out for them. So they are to all intents and purposes a brand new team. And HRT, well, I suppose you could say the same about HRT. They've got a new base and a new technical department, but they've got an old car, and that car works, and you know, works as well as it has done. And I think it's going to be, I think they might still be strong enough to take it to Marussia, sadly. See, you've got me talking about HRT now. I don't care.
I knew I could do it. You said that you did manage to watch FP1. Were you watching that via Sky or?
I was, let's just say I was watching it.
Mm.
And let's not delve any farther into the means of doing so.
Okay, fair enough. But let's just say that you may or may not have some knowledge of how the Sky coverage worked.
Yeah, okay, I do have some. Well, firstly, there was, let's talk about, can we talk about the Sky preview show? This is, if you're listening outside the UK, you likely won't give a damn about this, but well, I just want to talk about it briefly.
Well, we used to talk about the BBC coverage quite a lot, so I think people are used to it.
If you're outside the UK and you have terrible coverage, close your ears now, because this is definitely middle class problems right here. You know, this is me whining about one incredibly fantastic Formula One set of coverage, you know, compared to another incredibly fantastic set of Formula One coverage. But regardless, Sky, in the UK, Sky Television are have taken over the live broadcast of all of the races this year, leaving only 50% of the races for the BBC.
They stole all the people from the BBC.
Bar three,
yeah. Well, they stole all the good people from the BBC.
Jake is good.
Yeah.
And Lee, we'll get to that in a minute, but Lee's all right.
Jake is good, but he's got his eyes set on other things, the Olympics, etc. So yes.
He's a BBC man through and through, and for good reason.
They did, Sky did a big 2-hour launch thing for the new channel because they've got a dedicated channel to Formula One brackets and other motorsport. Those are my brackets.
It should be. They are correct brackets, though.
Yeah. And it was weird. They are doing the studio thing, which is something we've said would be really good, a good idea. Stop standing next to pit lanes when cars are whizzing past and firing up their engines, and instead be in a studio where you have a little bit more control over what people can see and hear.
I don't want to take all of the credit for Sky's coverage this year, but we have everything we have argued for in Formula One, for the kind of coverage we've long argued for, is exactly what Sky are delivering. However, they've somehow made it incredibly dull.
Yeah, you don't want to take credit for that coverage because that preview was not good.
The ideas are sound.
Yeah.
But the production isn't.
There were so many little things wrong with it. Like the fact that they had Damon Hill and Martin Brundle chatting. Brilliant. Love to hear what they say. But they were there for the whole 2 hours and they kept on coming back to them. And you just think, maybe it's time to hear from someone else.
With the combined history of Martin Brundle and Damon Hill, you'd have to go to some length to make coverage long-winded, wouldn't you? And somehow yet the Sky's conspired to do exactly that. There was no spark or passion or energy. And what concerned me most about the Sky preview, as nice as the concept was, is that you came along and peered over my shoulder for 5 minutes and you nailed 5 significant problems with it within a very short period of just looking over my shoulder. This was wrong, that's wrong, why are they doing this, etc., etc. You don't work in television, and you could see exactly what was wrong with the broadcast in an instant. How is it that with all of the crew and all of the television experience that Sky must have on their hands, they can't see the very, very simple things that you were pointing out? I mean, I was watching it thinking, you're absolutely bang on. The way this is being presented is amateur.
And it's just little things. Like, they had a big screen and they were talking about some footage that they had on there, which is fine. So you had Georgie, is that her name? Georgie on one side and Ant on the other. And, oh, bless Ant. He's so short and little. It's cute. And they were talking at each other directly. So side-on views for us. They were talking at each other. They very rarely looked at the screen. So we were excluded straight away. And then it was harder for them to turn to look at us anyway because they had to see what was going on the big screen behind them. It's just little things like that that seem as though they haven't quite thought it through and it's all a bit awkward. And there was also, they had fabulous, magnificent 3D car thing that popped out of nowhere in front of Ted and he could point to things and they highlighted bits, but it was all wrong. Like they said, here's some exhaust, but they had a massive tire in the way blocking it. If it's your 3D image hologram, whatever you're doing, strip away the tire so we can see what you're talking about.
You get the impression that the team are trying to educate fans, but it seems as though nobody within the team has any idea how to efficiently impart knowledge. What they've got is a lot of gadgets, but no one really knows how to make the most of them. So they're essentially throwing everything at the television in the hope that something sticks. They're throwing all of the presenters. You know, they've got the entire lineup parading around, you know, with section after section, none of it really has any. You don't get the impression that someone has a clear idea of what they're trying to do. They're just going to try everything all at once. Now, before I complain any more about the coverage, what I do want to say is when I watched the Free Practice 1 live coverage, it made a lot more sense and they knew what they were doing. I thought their Free Practice coverage was magnificent in terms of, you know, being, they had, I think Brundle was in the pit lane. You had Pinkham wandering around backstage. You had Ant and Crofty in the backstage commentary box. Yeah, you know, whatever. around by the motorhomes talking to the
rock stars.
Yeah, if you like, Jackie Stewart's and such. It was a massive crew and a massive production, and mostly I think it worked well. What I was most disappointed about, though, was the fact that I've long wanted Formula One to be in a television studio environment, and given that environment, they managed to royally mess it up.
Yeah, it makes our argument that studios other way forward a little bit harder because they haven't promoted it very well. But I mean, it was a preview and it was their launch thing. And, you know, they've got 12 months to get a lot better.
They have got 12 months. Here's something that has crossed my mind is that everybody is obviously new to this in the team and they've got to gel and they've got to work together. So wouldn't it have made more sense to maybe give 2 or 3 months free to fans? So like offer a bit of free coverage at the start of the season, rope people in while they learn their craft. And then people are hooked and then, you know, people will forgive them for mistakes. I think my issue is at the moment, if I was paying for that coverage while they figured it all out and learned all the stuff, I would be quite miffed. And there is another problem in the Formula One world, which I've noticed. And I think you mentioned this to me between the last show and this one, is that once you start paying for Formula One coverage and you pay a lot of money for that coverage, you suddenly want to get value for money from that coverage. So you suddenly have you put a pressure on yourself to say, well, I'm paying £30 or £40 a month for this to watch this Formula One. I better watch every session.
Yeah.
And I better watch every preview show because otherwise I'm not deriving the most value from my investment here. And I don't think that anybody in the world needs as much Formula One coverage as they're putting out. You don't need this many. There isn't that much information. I'm not entirely sure Anthony Davidson has enough ideas in his head to cover the amount of time he's on air, because the guy's on air for hours and hours and hours every single weekend. There just isn't that much news in Formula One.
It's like if you pay for the gym and then you never go to the gym and you feel really guilty because you're wasting this money never going. It's exactly the same. If you pay for this coverage and you're not watching as much coverage as you possibly can, then, you know, you're going to feel guilty about wasting the money. And there's an added pressure on you to watch and enjoy and consume as much as possible. And I just think that we personally don't need any more pressure.
I can see so many people getting Formula One burnout by Monaco, because you're watching, you have to watch all the practice sessions, you have to watch the magazine show, you must watch the highlights and the repeats, and you must, you know, everything that they put out, you've got to see it because you're a Formula One fan and you're paying for it, and you if you don't watch it, you're wasting it.
But
you're going to be exhausted.
On the flip side, it is amazing that they are doing all these things. I mean, magazine shows and being able to dedicate the time to it is something that the BBC would never have been able to do because they can't justify doing that.
But who needs it? Who needs that much Formula One in your life? How is everything not just going to be completely repetitive? Because it's hard enough to fill when there's no track time in free practice. It's hard enough to fill when you haven't spoken to anybody for 2 weeks. You know, you can tell people where you've been and what you've been up to and what flights you've been on, who you've met and what gossip you've heard. But if you're on air essentially continuously, when are you going to get time to have your own thoughts? To me, it's just a little bit too much. It would be really nice if there was a cut down package where you could watch just the race or just qualifying and just the race live. And then, you know, if you really, really felt you needed this extra content, you could then pay more if you're that crazy. Having criticized them as much as I just have, I still can see us signing up either next year or maybe even within 6 months' time once it's all running smoothly.
Absolutely.
I definitely object to paying for a beta product whilst people iron out all the niggles. And, you know, I would object if it was my money going on there and they were just messing around till they figured it all out. But, you know, within 6 months' time, it's so the live coverage is so good, it's still worth paying for it. And if you're outside the UK and you have no option to buy this, I do apologise. There are ways and means of tuning into it. You know, depending on how dedicated you are, I couldn't possibly send you in the right direction for those or not. But I mean, right now, I think there was talk that in Australia they have better coverage than in the UK right now, and I think even Speed are doing pretty good coverage this year. So from going from one of the front running broadcasting countries in the world, we've taken a massive back step this year
for now. But while we're on the subject of Sky, just a little bit more for anyone that doesn't care. And it's not us talking about it either, so that is good. When I asked you to remember last week, you struggled. But do you remember?
Are you sure we did a show last week? It seems like forever.
Do you remember even longer ago than that? We did this little thing called SidePod Radio. You may or may not recall it.
I'll tell you what, it reminds me of Sky's coverage. It went on and on and on and on and on. It was too much for anybody to listen to, ironically.
A 12-hour marathon of SidePod stuff. And there were some submissions from the excellent Nick in Australia called F1FM.
F1FM!
something like that. They were little sketches, a couple of minutes, a minute here or there, and they were great little bits to get from one segment to the other. And Nick got in contact with me recently and said that he is trying to bring them back, do them more often. He's going to create a podcast. They're going to be amazing. And he sent a couple over. We'll link to some of them in the show notes, but I also wanted to play one now, and it is about Sky, so I do apologize, but it's also quite amusing.
F1 FM. A new dawn in F1 is coming. Sky Sports has all the coverage for even the most die-hard F1 fan. Covering every session, every race, every press conference, every interview, every garage, every toilet break. With the best goddamn broadcast team in the history of the whole entire world. Your old favourites and people you've never even heard of. We've got over 40,000 people working to give you the best coverage you've ever seen. With our dedicated channel, you'll need an extra hour to fit in all of our coverage. That's why Sky F1 will broadcast 25 hours a day, 8 days a week. Our feature programs will make sure you know everything there is to know about every car and every driver. Enjoy our pre-race show, including pre-race grid walk. Marvel at our race coverage as we pioneer a TV first with the first ever mid-race grid walk. And our post-race analysis will not be beat as we head to the studio for the pre-post-race show, the post-race show, the post-post-race show, and the up-late show where you'll see all the highlights of our post-race coverage. Formula One's on Sky in 2012, and we've got coverage. So much coverage, you'll wish you never wasted your damn money in the first place.
I love F1 FM. You know, Nick, what a star. Nick encompassed everything that I wanted to say.
We should have just played that.
We should have just kept quiet. That's the story. Is that not the story of our lives?
Yeah. He mentioned 40,000 people from Sky being there. Wasn't there a rumour that there are more people from Sky than there are for HRT?
F1 Kate did tweet this last night. I do not know if that's true, but I want it to be true. Sky have a bigger operating budget and more personnel than HRT. That's how pointless HRT are.
Let's not talk about HRT anymore. Let's talk about Caterham instead. Did you see Heikki Kovalainen has a new helmet and it's like red and it's got a beak on it?
I love it. I truly heart
Heikki Kovalainen.
I think it might well be the best Formula One helmet ever designed.
Well, I quite like that Vettel one that was a can open.
The ring pool. Yeah. Yes, that was interesting. But I think this goes beyond that helmet. The only downside to it is it makes me feel slightly old because I'm not quite cool enough to play Angry Birds. I feel like I'm the kind of person who should like to play Angry Birds and should know exactly what it means and know the name of whatever bird is on the helmet. And, you know, that should be the kind of person that I am. But I'm not. I'm just a sad person who sits here talking on podcasts and doesn't have time to play Angry Birds.
Well, then I'm that too, because I haven't played it either.
Do you have any idea? Does the bird have a name?
Probably.
Is it like Elmo or something? I don't know.
All I really know about Angry Birds is it has taken over the world. It's everywhere. There are board games. There's, it's everywhere.
It's gone beyond the world. And they went into space.
And I haven't played it because everyone said it was a massive time suck, so I just wouldn't. I refused.
I want to
and
be.
Now it's infiltrated my F1.
Yeah, well, then this isn't the first time they infiltrated F1 because there was a live Angry Birds game in Singapore.
I remember. We've talked about this before. I remember making this confession before.
Fans had to are we repeating ourselves?
Yeah.
Second show in.
Boring.
Second show in, and we've said it all already. How do Sky fill those hours?
Stop it.
Yeah, the fans in Singapore had to cheer, and the louder they cheered, the farther the bird got pulled back.
That's right.
And
I do fired recall.
At a pig or something.
Something like that.
Oh, I feel so. Don't
you think we could have played it just for research? One level, just
anything,
so we knew.
Just so we could talk about it with some kind of confidence. There are people tutting into their iPods and devices right now thinking, how can they... There were probably people listening to this podcast whilst playing Angry Birds.
Oh, that would be really weird. Although I tweeted that perhaps the marketing might have been working and that I sort of felt like playing it maybe, although I didn't actually do it. But and everyone was like, oh, welcome to the cult and everything. So actually I was glad that I didn't because it sounds quite scary.
I'm going to. I want to. I want to be the cool guy who has free time.
You're
going to
join
play.
The cult.
It's not a... It's what... Playing Angry Birds says something about the type of person you are, and that's the type of person I want to be. Someone who's not working every single minute of every single day, which we have been during this off-season.
Woe is you.
Yeah.
Well, you have been working quite a lot recently, but as we said before, now you have time to relax, so you could play it. We have finished launching all the new things on the site, but we were launching them right up to today, yesterday, very recently. What new things have you given us this week?
Oh, columns. Columns and features, yes, must.
Columns and features
discuss.
Are the same thing.
They are.
Don't lead
they
the people astray.
Started life as a column and became a feature.
Yeah, so the idea is, I mean, everyone knows what a column is. Someone has a specific subject that they want to write about on a regular basis. That is the idea of the features section of SciPodcast, as opposed to the blog, where it's more of a free-for-all. Anyone can say anything they want, really,
it's like
within reason.
It's like a magazine or a newspaper column. You have named writers, and people get to know those writers, and they can follow their favourite writers, and writers will pick, expand on whatever is their chosen subject, their specialist subject, and they can write extended pieces of information, in-depth articles, the kind of thing that you can really get your teeth into, a meaty piece of work.
So, for example, at the moment, we only have the one feature on there, which we launched with, and that is, well, it's me, I must admit it. And it's
You're
called,
a trailblazer.
Yeah, it's called Midfield Monitor, and monthly I will take a look at specifically the four midfield teams, because there are 12 teams, four at the top, four at the back, but the four I'm interested in are the ones in the middle. And they may change, it may be different teams, it might be the same four all the time, but I'm going to look at them every month from now until the end of the year.
And keep us up to date with all of the goings-on, with the teams we pay maybe less attention to in an average season.
It's all Red Bull, Red Bull, Red Bull. Well, not this year.
There's more...
Although it might be. You never know.
Hello, that could be a challenge for you. There are more columnists lined up, though.
We have people waiting in the wings. They have ideas. They
Already,
want to be published.
It's a popular feature. This is good. This is features as a popular feature. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
It makes
sense. I didn't think that through.
It's not great English.
That's terrible English.
You're not going to be a columnist. I'm not going to let you.
I can't write that many words. How many words did you write in your debut column?
Oh, I don't know.
Like 1,500 words. Yeah. I've never written that many words in one go. No.
But we are accepting submissions if people want to have their own feature. But it is worth saying that, you know, it is a commitment. We are going to be putting effort into it from our end, making the page, making the pictures that go with it. It's a significant investment on both sides. Also this week, we had to reintroduce the race information post, which has everything you need to know about this coming weekend's race, the weather, the timings, the press conference schedule, all who the stewards are, the DRS zones, a circuit map. There isn't much you could ask that isn't in this post, but to make it even easier to get to the information, we've come up with something of a drop down on the homepage.
It's just where you need it to be. It's where you want the race information, right at the top of the page. You need to know what's going on this weekend. You hit up the name of the race just underneath the site navigation. There you have, right at your fingertips, a summary of all of the goings on of any given race weekend.
Or even better, you can hit R on your keyboard.
You like that shortcut.
And as a shortcut, it will drop the menu down. And I can sit for ages pressing R over and over again and watching it go up and down. It's amazing.
You call up SciPodcast homepage and you just hit that R key up, don't you?
Yeah.
Until you tell me to shut up. Stop with the keyboard, will you, woman? Yes.
But at the moment, it has the key information, such as the timings of the sessions, which I think is amazingly useful because you think, oh, what time is this on? You just go to SciPodcast and have a look. It's right there on the homepage, in your face. It's amazing. And also the weather, which is very useful, although it's completely changeable in Australia at the moment. But there is more to come on that amazing thread, as there is with most things
We's not done yet. But we're happy with what we've done, I think. We're proud of where we're at. The Formula One season kicks off. It kicks off right here this weekend. We should probably wrap this show up shortly. Not only because we've been going on and on and on and complaining a lot and all the other things that we do, but
we do it so well.
We do complaining like nobody else.
It's because we're British. It's what we do.
But we have to wrap the show up because you need to edit it.
Yep.
And release it.
Yep.
On a Friday.
This Feet Up Friday thing is a stupid idea.
Well, you have your feet up for a period.
Yeah.
And then you put your feet down and get on and do a load of work.
Before midnight. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Hmm. There's a problem there.
Feet up Friday and or Saturday.
Feet up Friday, head down Saturday. That's what you need. That's what we're...
Feet up Friday, still working on it on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay, we've got to draw a line under the show. We must. There's so much to talk about. We could talk for hours and hours and hours. And if people are willing to listen, maybe we'll keep doing it. Do give us your feedback on this show. Did you like it more than the last show? Did we get something right last one?
We won't always moan about Sky, promise.
Do I have to promise that?
Yeah, promise. I was promising, but you have to as well.
Oh, I promise not to moan about Sky. I can't moan about it too much because I at some point we are going to sign up to it. But I want to see what Formula One is like without our own pressure to watch everything on our heads. Yes, that's. I'm done. I'm out.
Good. So everyone enjoy the weekend. There'll be plenty to keep an eye on F1Minute.com and SidePodcast.com. All the usual good stuff like results and live threads. And I'm sure we'll be rating the race and all that kind of fun and games. So stay tuned and we'll probably see you maybe next week. Not next week. He's not promising anything.
Is it too late to rename it Pumped Up Friday? Because that's what I am this week. I'm definitely pumped up for Formula One.